Before we dive into today's trip down memory lane, a quick shout out to the fine folks at Remind Magazine, who help keep the nostalgia train rolling. This season, the Pop Culture Preservation Society is proudly sponsored by Remind, the publication that understands your collection of Tiger Beat magazines, TV guide issues, and random lunchboxes is not clutter, it's history. We love when Remind lands in our mailboxes, and we can enjoy that analog experience of flipping through its pages and reading all about the classic TV shows and movies and music and all of those pop culture treasures that made us who we are. And as an exclusive offer to PCPS listeners, you can get a full year of Remind magazine for just $12. That's 86% off the cover price. Just go to remindmagazine.com/pop. That's remindmagazine.com/POP. And you can take advantage of this incredible offer. Trust us, you will be so glad you did.
In the season one episode called Ma's Holiday, Mr. Edwards accidentally nails what to the roof?
Wait, I'd like to go back to the first question and add Mr. Edwards to my list of hotties on the prairie.
Hello world, is a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who scored tickets to the biggest concert of the year by lining up at the local department store box office.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving all the residents of Walnut Grove by testing our LHOP IQ in a game show we're calling Little Quiz on the Prairie.
I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
Okay, first of all, you guys, I cannot believe that nobody has noticed that I'm dressed as Mrs. Garvey.
Oh, I thought your shirt was cute and colorful.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Buttoned all the way to the top.
There
the
top you go. That's buttoned. The giveaway.
Nice. Well, yes. You kind of got Miss Beetle glasses on.
I've got my Miss Beetle glasses and I have my Mrs. Garvey hair.
Yes, you definitely have Garvey hair.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have any lipstick on because there's no lipstick on the prairie.
Okay. No, but there is very pale nail polish. I remember seeing some things French, where it's like Ma's hand, it's like kind of glossy, pale pink, and you're like, wait, what?
Okay, so I think you guys today is going to be fun, because we are going back to the prairie again, because I think we've proven that for people born between 1965 and like 1975, there is no such thing as too much Little House on the Prairie.
No,
am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is our fifth episode devoted to the people of Walnut Grove, and it certainly will not be our last. Mm-hmm. Our first, and again, I'll need help with this, but our first was a review of a web series called Living on the Prairie by actress / prairie enthusiast Pamela Bob, who now co-hosts the Little House at 50 podcast with Almanzo and Nellie Olson. Mm-hmm. And then the second was our first celebrity interview with Karen Grass, who played Ma Ingalls, everybody's mom. We all wanted her to be a mom. That was when she opened the door for her UPS delivery.
Oh my God, she's so sweet. We actually had our very first Little House Prairie was just us talking about our memories and our favorite episodes. And we all wore our bonnets.
That's right.
And we because this was like, I want to say January or February of 2021.
It was early on.
And so it was just us. And then we had Raven.
Oh, that was Little Traumas on the Prairie.
Yeah, Little Traumas with Raven.
That's
But the first one I really love because that's the one where we all just got to kind of just talk about our love for it. And we each picked an episode that we loved. Yeah.
That means this is our sixth Little House
episode. Oh, my goodness.
Episode. So then that next one was Little Traumas on the Prairie where we confessed which episode scarred us for life.
Yes.
And then there was the interview with Half Pint herself, Melissa Gilbert, about her life on the prairie and then her life that came after the prairie in her book, Back to the Prairie. Is that the right book or was it? Okay, it is Back to the Prairie. Mm-hmm. And we're not done. We're not even close because this show was on for what? Was it 9 years? I think it was 9 seasons. That's our whole childhoods. That's the entirety of our childhoods. We grew up with those people and we all wanted to be, we all wanted Pa to be our dad. Or our boyfriend, I guess. And we wanted Pa to be her mom. And we wanted to wear little caps on our heads when we went to bed.
Yeah.
It was just kind of what was happening in our lives. So this is definitely not the end. And so today, we're in Walnut Grove again to test our knowledge of this show. We're testing our LHOP IQ in a game we're calling Little Quiz on the Prairie. So I am the quiz master because I'm the one who bought the Little House on the Prairie trivia magazine for $12.99 in the grocery store checkout aisle. So to all of you grocery store merchandising people, that works. Yes. That works. Just keep them right there in the grocery checkout aisle because I don't have time to think and put it back.
Right.
Okay, so Carolyn and Michelle are going to be the contestants because I'm the quiz master, and you will be working together so you can converse. You're not competing against each other. No matter how many points you get today, we're all winners. We're all winners here, okay?
We are. Yeah. We are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
we're teammates.
Paul would want to. Everybody.
Yeah, that's right. And like I said in our preview episode, this will be random and thoroughly educational. And I'll be asking about prairie facts, but I'll also be asking about behind-the-scenes stuff, like backstories and secrets we never knew when we were watching the show. So just like we're all winners, there will also be no winners.
Okay, that's good.
We're all winners, you know, and there are no winners.
No
you
winners.
Can love a show, and it could be the nearest thing to your heart. And that does not necessarily mean that you know all the little tidbitty facts.
Thank you.
If we miss every single one, it is not reflective of our love for this amazing television show.
Right. And also, it was on 50 years ago. So there's that. There's that.
Yeah, there's that. And I'm hoping you're not going to ask a lot like post-wedding to Almanzo, because that's kind of when I kind of tuned out a little bit. So I'm not going to know a whole lot.
Yeah, that's tough. There is a dividing line when I was no longer watching. So let's just see how we do, shall we? Are we worthy of being full-time residents of Walnut Grove, or are we just passing through town like Wills from Different Strokes? Let's find out.
I should have had my bonnet.
Yeah, man. I put on my costume.
I feel like I know. There just I still have my prairie dress. We also wore prairie dresses when we interviewed Ma.
Mm-hmm. That's when they were
okay, so you're going to hear me turning pages in my magazine here. So everybody just like, this is the real deal, right?
Okay.
I'm question nervous. Number one. Question number one. So when it first aired in 1974, it is said that people turned to Little House in response to what current events? They're attributing its success to the fact that this is what was happening in the world.
Well,
that's not a Little House question. That's like a U.S. history question, and I suck at U.S. history or any history.
Chris or Michelle, we can't complain. We can't whine about why we can't answer.
I believe
we need
in you.
To put our heads together.
Like, and why did we need stuff that was so simple and pure?
Well, because there had been a war.
Ding, 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 I mean, I'm thinking of like Vietnam and people needed a comfort.
Yes.
Much like people turned to Little House in 2020.
Extra credit.
Needing comfort from
Michelle.
COVID.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you. Exactly. You just got extra credit. Yeah. They were saying that the world was in such turmoil that Vietnam was still raging, that Watergate, our president had just resigned. People were bad. Like, there were just bad people in the news all the time. And they just needed people they could depend on who lived simply. And they are crediting the success of Little House on the Prairie to those world events. Because truthfully, the critics were not kind. And they also were super mean. They were like, this is just the Waltons. I'm like, no, we're not. We're not the Waltons.
Bite your
Pamela
tongue.
Would have something to say about that.
Yeah, Pamela Bob in her Living on a Prairie. She's like, no, not the Waltons. Not the Waltons. But then in the same way, when the pandemic came in 2020, Little House on the Prairie had a huge surge in viewership.
Yeah.
And If you guys recall, so we always say that Sean Cassidy is the godfather of our podcast. But if you think about it, it was kind of Little House on the Prairie, because I think it was that surge in viewership that started the question of, hey, are people watching shows from their childhood? And then that survey came out where 50% of the people admitted that they were watching shows from their childhood in order to comfort themselves during the pandemic. So I think we could kind of say that Little House is one of our godfathers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm. So first you shame me for saying this is not a Little House question, and then you get extra credit.
All right.
Interesting.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, question number two. Little House on the Prairie, of course, as we know, is based on the books by Laura Ingalls Wilder, and those were published in the 1930s. So think carefully. This is not a hard question. It's just never something we've said out loud before. Between what years did the books and the show take place? He didn't change it. They didn't change it for the show. It's the same. Took place in what time period?
Well, it's in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to say,
and I think it's post-Civil War.
Yeah. So if you think about, like, Carolyn, we can talk this through, right? So Carolyn, yeah, I know you and I both love, like, Gilded Age, right? Mm-hmm. And so obviously this is not, the prairie is not New York, but we know from watching Gilded Age, and I'm not kidding, I use Gilded Age now as my reference to a lot of stuff, like the 1890s, mm-hmm. right? Because I've learned about, you know, some of the mining in Colorado, and I'm like, oh, that's what was happening at the same time as Gilded Age.
Yeah.
Now, on the prairie, or even in Colorado, looked lots different than it did in, like, New York. But I think for sure we're going to say it's before that. It's before the 1890s, because I don't remember episodes a lot where they were talking about, like, any type of railroad. Oh, well, there were the railroads. Yeah.
That's why they were going to blow up the town, because okay. the railroad wanted to go through. And there was railroad, but, you know, not the obnoxious guy. So I think maybe we should say, like, I don't think we have to be specific dates. Couldn't we say, like,
The 1850s, 1880s. Yeah, let's say
1880s.
That sounds
good. Really, I don't think the books went quite as far. I mean, I don't think the show went as far as the books did, but it is generally between the 1870s and the 1890s. So you're right. It's kind of like before the Gilded Age began.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that was good. And I think that you can do a little history. I'm proud of us. Okay.
That's right. Okay. So in the beginning, networks, when they're walking around with this pilot and they're trying to sell this pilot to people, the networks weren't really sold on it. The original pilot, they're like, whatever, you guys. And that pilot very closely mirrored the books. So Ed Friendly, who created the show, was like, okay, we got to do something different here. We got to pivot. So he recruited Michael Landon to do this show, to direct it, because of his work on what show?
Well, that would be Bonanza. Well,
I think Bonanza,
right?
But I feel like that's too easy. So, but
no,
that's the only
is.
One
it's
I can think
no,
of.
Oh, okay, it's Bonanza. It's
I'm
Bonanza.
Like so skeptical that I'm being like hoodwinked.
We've set ourselves up for failure. So yes, Bonanza, yeah. Final
yeah,
answer.
Yeah, Bonanza.
Because as he was Little Joe from, you guys, did you? I knew it was on for a long time. Bonanza was on between 1959 and 1973. That's how long Whoa. Bonanza was on. That's how long Pa Ingalls was Little Joe on Bonanza.
Yeah.
And Little Joe had directed some of those episodes. And so Ed Friendly was like, yeah, more like that. That's what I want. So Michael Landon was like, yeah, I really want to do this, but I'm going to be Pa. And he was like, no, we're going to hire somebody. He's like, nope, I'm going to direct it, and I'm going to be Pa. He's like, all right, fine. Okay.
Now, he had no idea, though. Whose idea was it to say, take your shirt off and just wear suspenders? Because that was the golden idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For many people watching. As a child, it wasn't for me, but probably for my mom when she sat down to watch with me. She was probably
my mom would be like, I'll watch Little House
on the Prairie.
You know, our parents knew him as Little Joe, so it was kind of fun to see him evolve as this, you know, patriarch of a family.
Mm-hmm.
And even as a child, even though you're not like, oh, yum, his shirt is off, still I'm like, his skin is very smooth.
I know. And shiny.
Shape, it's very shiny. And the shape of his shoulders is very round.
I don't think I got firm. Any of that.
Very firm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I noticed. I didn't know what I was thinking
You always
of,
do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're going to start casting the show. So when casting Kerry Ingalls, Michael Landon cast four-year-old identical twins, Lindsay and Sydney Greenbush. And we know that this was, they did twins like this because there were laws about how long children of a certain age could work. And it was like 4 hours at a time, and that was it. And so they often cast identical twins when they were very small so they could swap them out and they could get more airtime with them. But do you remember seeing that on the screen? You're like, oh, she has such a funny name, yeah. Lindsay Sydney Greenbush.
Yep. Yeah.
And then when you found out they were twins and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
I totally do.
So he cast those two girls based in part because of their, they had already done tag teaming acting like this before. And what he had seen them in most recently was a super sad made for TV movie with a John Denver theme song. What is it?
Oh, Sunshine, right?
Yeah. I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sunshine. Yes. Yeah.
So Kerry, Lindsay and Sydney Greenbush were played the 3-year old of the dying mom in Sunshine. Oh.
And I only know that answer because I listened to the Pop Culture Preservation Society. And I remember Carolyn talking about that movie back in the day and how heartbreaking it was. I don't remember watching it.
I don't remember watching it.
I think but
I just remember this theme.
Yeah. And I always thought, I think I say this too, that the Sunshine Family Dolls were based on that.
I just assumed.
Yeah.
I just assumed.
Well, and that's a weird full circle because the Sunshine Family mom and dad, look, they are doppelgangers for Mary and Adam.
Yes,
on
they
Little
are.
House on the
They
Prairie.
Are. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I have lots of terrible things I want to say right now, but I'm not going to do it. Okay. Okay. You can work together on this.
Okay.
But we're going to make a list. I need you to name all of the heartthrobs on the prairie.
Oh, the heartthrobs. Now, do we have an age? Because like that could be different if you're an adult or if you're like
all
some people
them.
Might think, I mean, obviously paw.
Okay.
But some people might
and that's
really
subjective.
Like, yeah, that's there super subjective. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can just think about, you know, there are no wrong answers here. If somebody said that they really loved Doc Baker, I'm not going to say they're wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, I would.
It would be more like Reverend Alden. That
Reverend
would be
Reverend Alden with the alcoholic
Doc
nose.
Oh, Doc Baker, though.
Yeah.
No.
I don't want.
I mean, can we go young? Can we do,
is it
Albert?
Sure you can.
Can
like,
we
here's
say,
the thing. Was Albert in Tiger Beat? He sure was.
Yes, he was.
So
was
his brother. Like. Cast members, or do we talk about any like guest people that came through?
All of the above. Yeah. And you said Albert's brother, his real life brother who played,
he was a Garvey.
He was a Garvey.
Yeah. Okay. Kid Garvey. I'm writing
Matthew
down.
And
Patrick. Patrick Labrador. Okay. Okay. So we've got Paw, we've got Albert, we've got Kid Garvey.
Well, I guess we have to go with Dean. We have to go with Almanzo.
Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't for me, but I could see how people were. And we've got to do, and I know, Kristen, just bite your tongue, but we have listeners who really loved Mary's husband.
Oh, Adam was a big heartthrob.
Mm-hmm.
Those eyes, I mean, you gotta say it, they will pierce you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Adam Kendall was Mary's husband. Yeah, people loved him. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say, I can't imagine anybody thought Nels was a heartthrob, so we're not going to say him.
Right. Unless we hear it from you people, we're not writing it down.
If you like Nels,
and
he was
I don't know about Willie. He was just such a,
I don't think people were going, he was a booger. That's a good name for it. Mm-hmm. He was not intended to be a heartthrob.
No, and Jason Bateman, when he was on, was too young, so he was too much of a little boy.
No, I'm putting a check mark by it, because when he was that young, people definitely thought
that's
he
true.
Was
and
cool.
I guess
people
he was in the, he was
him.
In the magazines when he
yeah,
was that
and he
young.
He was
when
in the magazines because he was also on Silver Spoons.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
he was a
definitely Jason Bateman. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was
so probably not.
He
James
was a nasty
Vincent McNichol for his one guest role he had.
Oh no, we can do. Yes, that's
very
a good
short.
One.
I'm not sure he even had any lines in it, but
is he a heartthrob? He is.
Well, he is in my eyes back then.
Okay, I'm adding it. Mm-hmm. I know that. There's a whole piece in this article or in this magazine with there's an interview with Dean Butler in which they ask him, so what was it like for you to be so many people's first crush? And like you said, it was not your cup of tea, but those prairie pants were tight and people liked it.
I totally understand the appeal. Mm-hmm. We all have our type though, and it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And also, like we've talked about with Melissa before, I was just I was so attached to Laura. I just had a really hard time, I think, at the age I was and everything, buying into that relationship.
Yeah.
It creeped me out a little bit. And we, as we know from talking to her, creeped her out a little bit too. No shade to Dean Butler. She That's thought right. he was nice
not
and great.
His fault.
Not his fault at all. It mm-hmm. was just, she was like, whoa, you know, you're going to have your love interest just coming in, you know, Amanzo.
Yeah.
She's like, yay, who is it? And then she was like, oh my God, he could be like, you know. He's like a man.
Because
I'm like 15 or 16.
I did think he was cute. I thought Almanzo was cute, but I did not have crushy feelings for him. And it's exactly because of what you're saying, Michelle, because mm-hmm. I couldn't go for what was happening. What if he was on a different show then, and the pants were just as, you know, and he got to wear prairie pants in that show also, then maybe I could have crushy feelings. But nope, not happening.
Do you remember when, I just have to say one more. Do you remember when Gil Gerard? R.I.P. by the way, didn't he just pass away?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I didn't.
Yes. I think like last week or very recently from when we're recording.
That? It's because I'm not on my phone anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But remember when he was on and, you know, Ma was
at the creek
looking at him. Yeah. And Pa was out of town and.
Oh, excellent. Good. Excellent addition to the list. That is a great addition to the list.
Gil Gerard, we're adding it to the list. That's a heartthrob for sure. That is a heartthrob for sure. Okay. Speaking of heartthrobs. So Michael Landon considered himself quite crushworthy, as you know, and he wasn't shy about going without this item of clothing. Can you name it?
His shirt.
Yeah.
His Henley, his like button, you know, the four button Henley or the button up shirt. Yeah.
So I'm going to give it to you. It's not what I'm going for. I'm going to give it because that is not wrong. And they always say that whenever Pa got hurt, it was always in the ribs. So they take his shirt off. It was always, oh, my rib. Oh, it was never his ankle ever.
His hat. What is the answer?
It's his
underwear. I thought hat too.
Underwear.
I was going to say that to be funny.
No, it's true.
Wait.
Yeah.
What do you mean he
was?
How
do we know this?
He was quite open about the fact that it was too hot. He was just, you know, Simi Valley where it was just really hot out there and he just didn't want to wear underwear. And this was notable because, again, the prairie pants are tight. And so it did not go unnoticed by all the people. And he'd be like, ha ha, not wearing underwear.
But they were itchy. Weren't they like made of like those wool? Prairie pants?
Yeah, wool prairie pants?
Ouch.
Oh, we'll have to ask him. Might be worth it. Mm-hmm.
So it was more Michael Landon didn't wear. It wasn't the Pa.
I thought you meant Pa. What article of clothing did Pa go with?
Well, we don't know. Maybe there was no underwear on the prairie. It could be like a George Lucas thing where he was like, Carrie Fisher, you can't wear a bra because there's no underwear in space. I don't know. Like, yeah, underwear is expensive.
Well, you know, you do wear those long on the prairie. Wear those long night shirts.
That's
so you
right.
could just let everything hang free.
You might not. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There were
everything
guys, remember,
hang free.
When, like, you would tuck the nightshirt into your pants, like. And I was
yeah,
like,
I thought he just wore like a long,
there.
Almost like a, you know, yeah, like the
night
before
Christmas.
yes, with your cap on your head.
Put your little long cap. Yeah.
Okay, so we have a lot of little factoids about Michael Landon here. He was such an interesting character, which makes sense. You know, he was a very charismatic man, and he made this show what it was. So, of course, there's lots of interesting backstory on him. So, I think we've talked about this before. Let's see if you can dig it up again. Michael Landon wore his hair famously long. That was not prairie hair. That was Michael Landon hair. That was Pa Ingalls hair. And there was nobody else on the prairie with hair like that. There was nobody else in the world of celebrity with hair like that. Why did he wear his hair long like that? I think Carolyn, she's looking smug.
Yeah, you look like you know, and I don't know
if that's as an adult why he wore his hair like that. But we have talked about when he was young, because we talk about the movie that he was in, or he wasn't in, but that was based on his growing up. And he thought that he was a great track runner, and he felt like his power on track came from his hair, kind of like a Samson and Goliath, right? Isn't Samson?
Delilah. Yeah. Samson and Delilah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's why he wanted his hair long when he was a child. And then bullies like nailed him down in the locker room in that movie and they cut all of his hair and it was just awful. But I don't know if that as an adult that wouldn't have it was. So it was a superstitious kind
it
of
was.
Thing.
He thought that's where his power came from. And he was very open about it. He was like, I was the number one javelin thrower.
Yeah,
in the
javelin
nation.
That's right.
Yeah. And I realized that well, if this worked this time, I'm not going to cut my hair and it'll get longer and then we'll see how I do next time. And he kept doing it better and better. I'm like, I'm not cutting my hair. Clearly, this is where my power comes from. And he just kept on doing it.
It was such good hair. Yeah. I'm glad you got that right, because my guess was going to be that he had a terrible case of like scalp psoriasis. And so he needed to grow hair long to cover it all up. But it is true. I mean, I think that's his trademark. I mean, the man was so handsome. And obviously, we all know, you know, he had an amazing chest and biceps and all the shoulders and, you know, keep going. But if you think Michael Landon, I bet the first, you know, physical trait quality everyone's going to think of is his hair.
Is his hair.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. But it's interesting. Little Joe didn't have long hair. I wonder if it was, if Little Joe's hair was just coiffed, right? Like with slicked back, maybe.
That's a good point. I would have to look at images from all the years he was on Bonanza to see how it changed.
Well, and now, as he grew. Little House on the Prairie, as you said in the beginning, he's kind of calling more of the shots. You know, he can probably say, I can have my hair however I damn well want. Yeah. And, you know, he has some legs to stand on for that. So,
and I'm the number one javelin thrower in the nation.
Yeah.
So my hair is going to be long.
That's right.
Okay. Speaking of his hair, at what age did Michael Landon go gray?
I was just.
Is that an actual question you're asking us?
It is. It's one of the questions.
Oh, man. I was like, we can just. Well, it was early. It was early. Mm-hmm. Let's just. Okay. Well, let's talk this through. I mean, it's just going to be a guess, right? So it's going to be early. Let's say 35.
That's what I was going to say.
35.
Let's go 35. Final answer.
He went gray, completely gray, in his 20s. So he dyed his hair himself, out of a bottle, in the bathroom, by himself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Until the day he died. And it was, it was like, he even has revealed like what color it was. He didn't try to hide it. He was like, yeah, my wife just was like, here, try this. And it was ash brown. It was some kind of ash brown. He just did it himself in the tub.
Wow.
That whole time. Now, if you think about it, like everything we knew about Pa Ingles, that was not his hair color.
I know. Hey, everything you know about me hasn't been my hair color since my 20s either.
Good point.
Touche.
Mm-hmm. He's not the only one. Okay, why was Michael, we're almost done with Michael Landon.
Okay.
Why was Michael Landon often filmed on a ladder?
Well, because he was shorter. He was shorter than he wanted to be.
That's
he was like 5'8" or something.
Yeah, he was shorter than he wanted to be.
Yeah.
He often said he was 5'10", and then he'd be like, well, maybe I'm 5'9". And then other people are like, no, he's 5'8", which means he was 5'7". No.
Hey, I was about to say, I got it right out of the gate, 5'8".
You did. Yeah. So he was often on a ladder. Yeah. Or he would be on, like, let's say he's coming out of the mercantile and he's on the steps and the people are on the ground.
Yeah. Or he's on the wagon.
He's on the wagon.
He's on the wagon a lot. Yes. That's right.
And if he had to stand next to people, he put 4-inch lifts in his shoes.
Or on a fence. He was on a fence a lot.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to think about these things. So many of our handsome stars in Hollywood are not tall.
Yeah. Robert Redford's really short.
You guys, I don't care. I mean, obviously, I don't care. I'm only 5 feet tall. But we don't care. We don't care. You don't need to be tall. We love you. Right. You're clearly beautiful. Just be beautiful and own it, Tom Cruise. Yeah. Like Robert Redford. He was like, what, 5'7"?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Turning pages. You can hear me turning pages. Okay. So we're talking about Dean Butler again. So when Michael Landon left the show after season 8. He didn't leave it entirely. He was still behind the camera, but Pa was no longer in front of the camera in season 8. What very recognizable item did he gift to Dean Butler, or Almanzo, to wear on the show? But then Dean Butler forgot it.
Like, forgot what? Like, forgot to wear it or forgot it at home?
On
like, when you say just forgot it.
Like, the show ended.
I'm going to guess it's his hat. I'm going to guess it's his, that very...
his hat that, as well.
That very, it doesn't look exactly like a cowboy hat. It almost has more of a rounded top, right?
And brim.
That's what we're guessing.
You're very good, you guys. That is correct. He gifted Almanzo his hat. And he was like, and now you, my friend, will wear this hat on the show from now on. And it even had like his initials in blue ink on the inside. It said ML. I mean, think about that hat. It was the same hat the whole time. And he, like, what an iconic piece of Americana. It's not just a random hat. He wears it in every show. And then he gives it to Almanzo. And then the show ends and he left it. He left it. He's like, I forgot it.
Oh, my God. Where is it now? Do we have any idea where this hat is?
No, he doesn't know. No.
It probably got blown up with walnut growth.
Possible. Mm-hmm. That's got to hurt. That's got to hurt.
Good job, Michelle. We're smarter than we thought.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all about guessing. You got to be a good guesser.
We're not guessing. We are coming with full knowledge.
Well, that one was a pretty easy guess, though, because other than a hat, really, he didn't wear like a famous coat or,
have a stopwatch or pocket watch.
But it wouldn't occur to you until somebody puts it that way. You're like, yeah, his hat is in every show. That's his hat. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
I'm surprised he had the same hat through all those seasons, because especially how hot it did get in Simi Valley.
Yeah.
Think how sweaty that hat band would have been on the inside. Nasty.
Not super breathable. Okay, we talked about this already, but I'm going to ask you anyway because you'll get extra points. Why was Laura's first kiss something that should have been very sweet and memorable for all of us so controversial?
Well, it's just the age difference of them was icky, because when they first met, it was like she was truly still, you know, however many episodes before, she's still in her braids with her little calico dress and her little boots. And it's just, he is a man. She literally, in her book, Beyond the Prairie, is that what it's, she says, you know, she, when he walked in, she has a great quote in there, something about, here was this man walking in and I hadn't even started shaving my legs yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell it, and she has said that was not just the first kiss between Laura and Amanzo. That was her first kiss.
Dean Butler looked like he was 25 or 26 when he first came on.
Yeah.
I almost felt sorry for him a little bit as I watched those episodes. Like, oh, what did I sign on for? Like, it just, I never bought it. And I felt bad for him and I felt bad for Melissa. It just wasn't believable. And I feel like, I'm not going to call it they were jumping the shark, but it's like they tried to do so much. Like, okay, it's time for her to get married. Let's get a really cute guy. They just didn't think it all the way through. And the consequences of us going, ooh, this doesn't feel right. Even if we couldn't articulate it, depending on our age, we just knew it didn't feel right.
That's a good point, though. I would love to, and we've talked about having Dean and even Allison together, because they do such a great podcast right now, The Little House 50, having them on the on our podcast. But I would actually love to ask him that, because we've gotten Melissa's point of view.
Oh, he is.
We know our point of view. But Carolyn, you bring up a really good a good question. Like, when he was filming those first scenes before the first kiss one, when he first comes to Walnut Grove, and he knows this is, we're supposed to be like, I'm supposed to be like, I like her. And, you know, they're in the mud, him, you know, Nellie and, you know, all the different scenes. And she's still being dressed like she's 14. She's got the braids. Did he feel a little ick factor too?
Yeah, he did. And he said he's still grappling with it. Like he, and he acknowledges it was a different time. So it wasn't like there was anything criminal taking place, because again, we talked about this before.
Of course.
Yeah. But he just had ooky feelings about it, and he's still grappling with those ooky feelings. And you know what didn't help? Is that Melissa Gilbert's mom cried on the set when it happened.
Yeah.
She cried.
Well, she was just probably so uncomfortable. Like,
Yes. And you always hear now, at least when I'm listening to podcasts or reading interviews, where to get a part, you have to like read with the other person that already has the role and you have to see if there's chemistry. But it doesn't seem like that ever played a part in that they ever put those two in a room to like read through some scenes before he was cast.
Up one day. Then if you then fast forward a year to where it's like those golden, you know, I'm thinking of the books,
these
the happy
golden years. Yeah.
But, but you know, if you watch the episodes when they have the baby and they have baby Rose and all this stuff, they look way more like age mates, because
I
then
still didn't like it.
Oh, well, I wasn't, I was never a fan, and I had kind of trickled off watching, I think, because we were getting older.
They lost some
And we all identified to little girls, because we were little girls at the time. But, you know, then all of a sudden, Laura, she like, because this was how it was in the Prairie, she jumps from being little girl to wife and mom
in an episode.
In 2 weeks. Yeah. And for all of us, that's not how our lives were progressing. Right. So that is understandably why a lot of us, we kind of trickled off watching, because we didn't have really anything we could connect to and identify with anymore. Because all of a sudden, Laura, who we'd loved forever, was a wife and a teacher. And I was like, wait, I'm still in like eighth grade.
No longer identifiable. And so the question is, why didn't, you know, what is the reason for this? And wouldn't it have been a great moment to make it a relatable moment by giving her a cute little boy from Miss Beadle's class to fumble through a first kiss with instead? It's possible that they were going for accuracy. That's all that I can figure out. I mean, this has been talked about, but nobody has been definitive. Nobody has answered the question and said this is what it was. But Laura Ingalls and Almanzo Wilder met when she was 15 and he was 25.
Oh, yeah. So they probably were.
But, my gosh. Mm-hmm. It's not like they cared about accuracy with anything else.
Exactly.
Show. So why would that be?
Why wouldn't you go for the ratings? Yeah,
exactly.
And have it be a cute Tiger Beat guy.
I will say though, that is 15 and 25. That's about exactly what they looked like.
And he referred to her as, like, when they were friends to begin with, and he referred to her as his little friend. And then they were married by the time she was 18.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, again, it was perfectly acceptable on
prairie
the prairie.
Times, that's right.
But
prairie
on 1970s life. Television, we were having a little bit of trouble. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to a new character. How did Mary go blind?
You go ahead. Yeah. I felt like she had.
She just has like an illness.
Oh.
It's just an illness because it's kind of slowly. It happens on the show in like two episodes, but it's like the doctor then comes and tells Ma and Pa that she's not going to see again. And they have to tell Mary. And that's a heartbreaking episode. I only watched it like a year ago, I think.
Carolyn,
isn't it some sort of illness?
More.
Well, did she have scarlet fever or something?
Yes, she did.
Oh.
You went, Scar, go, Michelle. That's my
And I just did illness.
Scar,
illness.
Go, yeah. Michelle.
Well, illness was a good all-encompassing answer because it was correct too. But yeah. And I remember that, my mom would talk about the fact that they thought I had scarlet fever when I was a baby, or not a baby. Maybe I was like a toddler. Mm-hmm. It ended up being something else, obviously. But after she had scarlet fever, you know, that I was like, I could have gone blind.
I could have gone blind.
That was bad. Yes.
I could have gone blind. My grandma had scarlet fever, and I remember thinking the same exact thing. Oh my God, you could have gone blind.
My mom had scarlet fever really badly when she was like four, and they thought she was going to die. And turns out that's what the heart condition she had that did end up being one of the things that killed her.
Oh,
it was like 8 years ago when they discovered she had like mitral valve prolapse and the valve in her heart, this one big valve, was completely damaged. And one of the first things the doctor asked her, at the time she was like 75, 74, the first thing the doctor asked is, did you have scarlet fever as a child?
Oh, my
and
God.
She said, yeah, really badly. And he said, that's what it is.
Oh, wow.
This is why we have vaccinations, people. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this is very interesting because in the books, it is attributed to scarlet fever. In the show, I can't remember if they say scarlet fever or not, but I always thought it was scarlet fever. And, you know, the books in the show, they blended together and we read the books and we watched the show. So I don't know if I got scarlet fever from the show or from the books, put them together. I don't know. But anyway, the common wisdom is that it was scarlet fever. But it's not true. You still get the point because that's what everybody thought and that's what they said.
Okay.
But apparently, I'm going to read this straight from the magazine. So, author Laura Ingalls Wilder blamed her sister Mary's blindness on scarlet fever, an explanation that carried over to the TV series. Okay, there's my answer. But researchers say that scarlet fever doesn't cause blindness. Here's a whole generation of people who have grown up thinking that scarlet fever causes blindness because of Laura Ingalls. Although Laura's sister did have scarlet fever at a young age, she had recovered. The blindness came much later when Mary suffered severe headaches, paralysis of the face, and what Laura called spinal sickness, all signs of viral meningoencephalitis, an inflammation of the brain membrane that can also inflame the optic nerve.
Okay.
Just blew up everyone's day.
Well, I can't say that other one either. It's too hard to say that that's caused it. I prefer scarlet fever than yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's go back and watch that episode though, because there's so many things that are almost like comical because you're like, how are you not going to tell her? And then they just like blurt it out. And Melissa Sue Anderson is so good, though. The way she reacts is heartbreaking. Like, it is, you want to cry so hard just watching her hear that from Mom and Pa. And Ma and Pa are so good, too. Like, before they tell her, grappling with their sadness and everything. It was really emotional and well done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good on you, Melissa Sue Anderson.
Yeah.
Good on you. Okay, so while Melissa Sue Anderson was still on Little House on the Prairie, what movie role did she turn down because she had a morals clause in her Little House contract and she was not comfortable with the nudity?
Okay, we talked about this like last year. Okay, I'm going to think a movie. Oh, because I was thinking, I was like, we know we saw her on Lance. We know that Melissa Sue Anderson was on where the Lance lost his virginity for 16 and 17,
that's right? Mm-hmm.
No, that wasn't the one, nudity. But we don't have to correct you.
You can correct me.
Well, the Swedish students.
Yes, you're right. She was in like the pilot episode.
Yeah.
She moved away, right? She
He moved away.
He moved away.
And Come on, Michelle.
Cut it all out. I'm going to say it's going to be an episode while she's still on it and then nudity. I'm going to guess something like Little Darlings.
Carolyn, you got any thoughts?
You know, I'm thinking of one of those or Blue Lagoon type things.
Because it was still 1980. Melissa Sue Anderson.
Yeah, but it was still the same. Little House is still going into the 80s.
All right.
And
I'm
nudity
say
movies would be. It's
Pretty
not Blue
Baby.
Lagoon.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's Blue Lagoon because I think they wanted Brooke Shields from the beginning for that. So I'm saying Little Darlings, but I think that's wrong because I think in our Little Darlings episode, we talk about wanting. Those two, I think Jodie Foster might have been up for
maybe
one
it was
of those.
Her too. But was there nudity?
We don't know.
It's Blue Lagoon.
Oh!
It's Blue Lagoon.
And I thought they wanted Brooke Shields from the beginning.
They went to Brooke Shields when Melissa Sue Anderson turned it down. So basically, Melissa Sue Anderson is responsible for Brooke Shields' career. Because think of how Brooke Shields' career blew up after that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa. Thank you. Look, listeners, I bet you didn't know that.
I'm sorry, but I would never have gone for that.
She didn't even have to be nude. We learned from our Blue Lagoon research that Brooke's bubbies are really her bubbies, her bubbies aren't really hers in the movie.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but the public, the viewing public would never have allowed it to happen.
Oh, right. Mm-mm.
It would just the cognitive dissonance would have been too much.
I mean, think about with Karen Grassley when she wrote her book about her real life, and people were mad because she wasn't Caroline Ingalls in real life.
Like, in real life, yeah, like they're so upset that Karen Grassley, not Ma Ingalls, but Karen Grassley had sex, with men. What?
Right. That would not have gone over well.
Mm-mm. So they dodged a bullet on that one, I think. And she was on, this is really interesting. So Melissa Sue Anderson was on Love Boat quite a bit. And she was lucky in love on Love Boat.
Oh,
more than once. Her first time on Love Boat, I'm going to help you with this one because this is hard. What son of a crooner did Melissa Sue Anderson start dating after they appeared together on the Love Boat? In real life, they start together on Love Boat, and then in real life, they started. Son of a crooner.
Mm-hmm.
I know Dean Martin had a son who was really cute.
Yeah, I was thinking the son. Dino I was thinking, cute. And he was friends with everybody. So crooner would be like Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. Did Sinatra have a?
Not that I know of. He had a daughter.
Desi Arnaz Jr.
Boots are made for walking. Walking's what they do. Yeah.
Desi Arnaz Jr. was on a lot.
He was. That's true. He was on. But that's.
But was Desi Arnaz isn't really.
He's not
on
really
there.
A crooner. No. Mm-mm.
I'm going to go with Dean Martin only because I don't know any other crooners.
You mean his son?
Or it could be Bing Crosby's, like, you know, remember he got remarried to that old rabbit hole to the woman who was a Miss America. And then he had a bunch of the young kids. And Kristen Shepherd or whatever, the shooter from Dallas, is his daughter from the second marriage.
Yes, that's right. I think everybody, if this scintillating thought, you know, our
train
thoughts,
of thought.
Being out loud. Yeah. People are still listening. They're shouting right now at their devices.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's just say I don't know.
Your first instinct was correct. It is Frank Sinatra. And she was 16 and he was 33.
Well, no wonder we didn't.
What's his name?
Yeah. Frank Sinatra.
Like Junior?
I mean, no, wait, sorry. Frank Sinatra Jr. Yes. Junior is important. Frank Sinatra Jr. Yeah. Let me just, Frank Sinatra Jr.
Mm-hmm. He was 33.
He was 33. Yeah. She also started dating Lorenzo Lamas after being on the Love Boat with him. I don't know how much older he was than her. Maybe they're about the same. That's not so much. That's not such a big deal. But she had a lot of muck on Love Boat.
Wasn't his mom a crooner?
Arlene Dahl.
Oh, yeah.
Was his mom, who I might be related to, but I don't know how.
Listeners, do you not love this? You come for the Little House on the Prairie scoop, but you leave with so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk about her Little House husband.
Yeah.
Adam Kendall, played by Linwood Boomer, who was quite...
that's his name. So many people change their names. Why wouldn't Linwood Boomer...
Linwood, come on.
I know. Just,
come on, Linwood.
Okay. What's he up to?
I'm going to ask you. Okay. You're going to tell me. So Adam Kendall was Mary's equally blind husband, played by Linwood Boomer. And he would go on to even greater success, bigger than Little House on the Prairie, as the creator of a mid-2000s sitcom based on his own childhood. Can you name it?
Mid-2000s?
Mm-hmm.
That can't be that.
Was it on like a, was it on like primetime or was it on like a Disney Channel type thing?
Primetime.
Okay. Fresh off the boat. No, I'm just kidding.
Nope. And it can't be that, whatever, that little, what was that?
Mid-2000s. So we're talking like 2005. What was I watching in 2005?
I hope I'm right about that. I guessed. I should actually look it up and find out.
That's on his life? That's about his childhood?
Yep, it was about his childhood. Oh, yeah. Oh, early 2000s even. Early
is it 2000s. Like, is it like Malcolm in the Middle?
Bing, 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 bing. That's it. That's
and you know what? They're having Malcolm in the Middle too.
Yes,
come out.
They are.
Is he really involved?
Yes, he is. Yes, he's involved. He is Malcolm.
No way.
Linwood Boomer is Malcolm. He's in the middle.
Just like finding out that Wesleyan did Dragon Tales.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I know. He is Malcolm.
I watched it a few times and it was funny.
It was very cute. It was a big show for Liam. The revival is going to be all the kids coming home to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Jane Kasmerick and Bryan Cranston, who played the parents.
Yeah.
And all those kids are coming back for the revival. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
In the season one episode called Ma's Holiday, Mr. Edwards accidentally nails what to the roof?
Wait, I'd like to go back to the first question and add Mr. Edwards to my list of hotties on the prairie.
Wait, we asked you Mr. Garvey.
I mean him.
He's so sweet.
Merlin Olsen. Yeah,
I love Merlin Olsen.
Actually, adding to the heartthrobs list, Mr. But actually, Edwards and Mr.
Yes,
Garvey.
Yes, Mr. Garvey for sure. Yeah. Okay. Okay,
He nailed
what to the roof?
Didn't he nail like his...
It's like his pants
or something. Yeah.
You're very close. You're on the right track. It has to do with clothing.
His suspenders.
His hat. His glove.
No.
I think it's his pants or his underwear.
Overalls.
I don't know. Oh, he wasn't wearing underwear. Oh, no, wait.
I'm just
going
to tell you because you're going down. You're getting colder.
Oh, okay.
He nailed Carrie to the roof.
Oh.
Can I just take a moment to stand up for a standing ovation for Mr. Edwards for doing that?
And he did that on purpose, right? Because he was watching her.
Oh, is that how it went?
She was running away from him all the time, and he had to keep her in one place while he was so busy doing stuff.
Oh, yeah. He anchored, whose character, Isaiah Edwards, was babysitting Carrie, and he anchored her dress to the roof while fixing some shingles.
Yeah. I totally remember that.
Yeah. And so either Lindsay or Sydney Greenbush says, I remember them putting a safety belt underneath my dress and then pulling my dress out all around. And then, of course, Victor made it fun. So he was never scary in any way. It was one of my favorite experiences.
Oh, that's super cute. Super cute.
That is cute. Okay. We're going to make another list. Can you name all of the adopted children on the prairie?
Well, we've got Jason Bateman and his sister with the braids and
so
the big
James
smile.
James Cooper and his sister.
Albert.
Cassandra.
Cassandra, of course.
Albert is adopted.
And then you've got Shannon Doherty.
Shannon Doherty.
She's the niece. Isn't she Dean Butler's niece? Mm-hmm. And then Albert, obviously.
Mr. Edwards adopts those kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. So John Jr., that's not his biological child?
Yeah.
Yes.
So he adopts him as
I'm adding that to the list. All right.
And there was there were other kids in that family too, but I can't remember all who they were.
Okay.
Oh my God. Oh. Nancy.
Nancy, who replaced Nellie essentially, because Nellie was all grown up and married, and they're like, and shit, now who's going to be the bitch on the prairie?
Right.
Yeah. And they wanted her to look just like her. Yeah.
So then they adopted Nancy.
Did not like her.
Yeah. There's one.
Like, I didn't like Nellie, but I loved Nellie. Like, I loved to hate Nellie but Nancy, I just did not like.
Nope.
She did not have any redeeming qualities whatsoever.
No.
Okay. There's one more that's obvious.
No, there's one that is not obvious at all. In fact, I didn't know it until I read this magazine. Did you guys know that Willie Olson was adopted?
No.
I did not either. Apparently, he's adopted.
When do we find that out?
I don't know.
Can you give me an episode? Because I'd like to go fact check that. Yeah.
I mean, at least according to Little House on the Prairie Trivia Magazine, he was adopted. That could be a typo and somebody was getting overeager. So we'll definitely have to do some fact checking on that one. Yeah. So of all these adopted children, they went through a lot of trauma.
For any of our listeners, Michelle is not
going to be on. Yeah, because I have to do fact check. It says no.
Knows the answer.
Willie Olson, played by Jonathan Gilbert, was not adopted in the TV show Little House on the Prairie. He was the biological son. Now, this is AI, so I'm just right now. Biological son of Nels and Harriet, though he had adopted sister on the show Nancy. However, the actor who played Willie, Jonathan Gilbert, was adopted in real life by the parents of Melissa Gilbert, who played Laura Ingalls, making them adopted siblings in real life.
Well, I think who did that magazine? I think we need to write into them.
We might have to write into Little House on the Prairie Trivia Magazine because they could be wrong.
Yeah.
Right now, let's just say we're 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But those adopted children, there were so many of them, and they went through a lot of trauma. There was a lot of difficulties. So how many tragedies can you name that befell these adopted children on the prairie?
Oh, just the adopted children?
Just the adopted. Yep. We're going to focus. We're just going to focus.
I don't know if I can think of any.
Oh, sure. You can think of Albert when he OD'd on...
Well, sure. And then
Albert
set the fire, you know, and then Mrs. Garvey died.
Fire starter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, for sure. And then,
I know James and Cassandra had some, but Bateman was on. I'm sure
I didn't really either.
Well, let me just tell you what happened to Jason.
Let's just guess. We could just start guessing things like near drowning, kidnapped and thrown in a, you know.
They're so plausible. I'm checking my list to see if that's true.
Well, Albert, Albert was the adopted one, and Albert's girlfriend was raped by a clown, and then...
Raped. I'm adding it to the list. Mm-hmm. Okay, GF raped. Okay. Well,
Nancy, I can't think of any tragedies. I didn't really watch it then because she bugged me so much, so I wouldn't really watch it.
At the end of the show, so we all think that he died or did not die of his morphine addiction when he OD'd on morphine. But the truth is, after he recovered from his overdose, Albert got leukemia.
That's right.
Leukemia. Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
It's a lot. Jason Bateman, he got caught in a bear trap.
Of course
he
did.
That was rough. That was tough sledding right there. He also got shot by a bank robber.
He
had a tough life. I would also accept life as a thief because Albert, he started on the show as a thief. And
that's right.
He was a little thief. And of course, Shannon Doherty's parents died. So that's traumatic.
Yeah, that's
very
traumatic.
She has to go live with Laura and Almanzo.
Yeah. She was so cute. Jenny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little Jenny.
But Matthew Labrador actually was on the show before he was Albert. He was in the first two episodes of Little House. Do you know what role he played?
I didn't even know he was on.
Hang on. So the first two, do you mean the pilot or like Country Girls?
I think like Country Girls. I don't think it's the pilot. I think it's the first two episodes of the show.
I think he was Willie.
Okay. I'm going to say Willie.
Okay, that's a good guess. Okay. It's not right, but it's a good guess.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, he appeared as Charles Ingalls in flashbacks to his childhood.
Oh, aww. I think I vaguely remember. Mm-hmm. that little factoid. Okay, good to know.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Nellie Olson. So Allison Arngrim is the actress who played Nellie Olson, and she became deeply involved in AIDS activism after the show. And she did this in part due to her relationship with which Little House star?
Well, her husband, and what was his real name? I want to say Linwood Boomer because it sounds kind of like that, but I know it's not.
What Percival was, is his on-screen name.
Well, yeah, Percival. Right, and then I would know his name if you told me. But
Steve Tracy.
Oh, no, I wouldn't, have.
I wouldn't know that.
Yeah,
sorry,
Steve Tracy.
Not have known
well,
that.
Apparently, so Percival, played by Steve Tracy, was Nellie Olson's eventual husband on the show. We talked about their wedding in our weddings episode last season. And apparently they were so close on the set that people assumed that they were having an affair. But the truth is they were not having an affair. It's just that Steve Tracy had confessed to Allison Arngrim that he was gay. And he was not out of the closet. He was very much in the closet. She was the only person that he had told.
Wow.
And so they become fast friends during and after the show as well. They're very, very close. And then, unfortunately, he gets sick and he dies of AIDS-related causes. And this inspires her to be an activist. And it continues to be something that she works on today.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Isn't good that amazing?
Love that.
What a beautiful relationship to come from something like that, right? Okay, what role did Melissa Gilbert's real-life brother play?
Oh, he was Willie. He was Willie Olsen.
It was Willie Olsen. Yeah, it was a gimme. Oh, my gosh. And I put here, in my notes, I put Willie Nelson mystery is solved. It's not Willie Nelson. I'm like, was Willie Nelson on the show? What?
Johnny Cash was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Johnny
and
Cash
June.
Was.
Johnny and June.
That's right. So Willie Olson, not Willie Nelson, after the show ended, as we've heard this story before, he kind of disappeared and nobody knows where he went. And then, okay, so I'm just going to read this from the magazine, right? So why did Jonathan, his name is Jonathan Gilbert, it's Melissa Gilbert's real life brother, played Willie Olson. Why did Jonathan disappear? When he turned 18, Jonathan gave up acting and moved away from California. For years, Melissa said he had no relationship with her, and she never figured out why he drifted away. And he says, I had a whole spiritual journey for maybe 20 years. I've worked in finance and Wall Street, lived in Manhattan for a long time. And then Willie Olson / Jonathan Gilbert surprises the entire cast by showing up at the 50th anniversary celebration last year. And I'm going to read this part to you, too, because it's so interesting. At first, fans and even some cast members did not recognize the long-haired man who showed up to the Little House reunion in Simi Valley, California in April of 2024. But sure enough, that was the 56-year-old Jonathan who made a surprise return 4 decades after leaving the show. It was complete insanity, sobbing, hysteria, Allison Arngrim, who played his sister, told us. I had not laid eyes on him since 1983. He comes in looking absolutely stunning. Melissa starts crying, starts hugging him, and I lost it completely. There was so much crying.
I love that.
I do, too. And I remember watching. And he was so well-spoken because he did a little Q&A with audience members. And I remember seeing some of that video and wow. Just wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That spiritual journey was not for nothing.
Right.
But you know what, Carolyn? I do get a little whiff of James Vincent McNichol on him. Like,
when you say whiff, do you mean actual? The actual aroma
I do.
That surrounds James Vincent McNichol like a cloud.
These two are definitely friends. They get their hair cut at the same place. They don't wash their hair at the same place. they smoke the same thing. And, you know, more power to them. It seems like they're both really happy. But I definitely, that feeling that we got when James Vincent McNichol walked into our Teen Idol dinner and he is like surfer dude times 10. Jonathan Gilbert is the same thing.
But also with James Vincent McNichol, just so funny. Like I always say, it was like, you know, Spicoli coming out of the van and his friends coming out of the van on Fast Times.
Yeah.
Those doors opened and I smelled him before I saw him. And then you turn and it's like you could just almost see the smoke coming in with them. And he just, and hey, knock yourself out.
Relaxed.
No judgment at all.
Super
Believe
relaxed.
Me, I live in Colorado. No judgment here. But it was just funny. It was just kind of in character almost.
Totally.
And it's his
character.
Actual person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now this is in this is in honor of my, I was going to say my namesake, but my costume sake, the person I'm dressed as today. Can you guys tell me, how did Mrs. Garvey die?
I can't because it's too hard.
It's too much because why
did they make us, why did as viewers, because Mary couldn't see her, but yeah. Why did as viewers, we have to watch her holding that baby at
because
the window
Michael Landon. He
as
loved,
the flames are behind her.
Yeah,
like
yes. He loved that drama and that extra, I don't know what you would even call it, but I feel like he was the one who said, we're going to show the fire behind her and her banging on the window. Like,
and what's banging on the worst thing that could possibly happen? A baby dying in a fire.
Yeah.
But you guys, it wasn't just drama. It was, I mean, that is troubling tragedy. Yeah. It is trauma. Yeah. Drama with
viewer.
A T-R. Yeah. Yeah. Trauma. T-R-A-M-A.
Yeah.
Actually, let's come up with a new term. Trauma.
To be more explicit, there's a fire set by Albert in the basement at the blind school. And
well, he doesn't
Mary,
know. It's because he left his pipe there.
Yeah.
That he was testing
he's a
out.
Bad boy.
Contraband. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't cigars. I thought maybe it was cigars, but you're right. It was a pipe.
Right?
It was a pipe. Yeah. It wasn't morphine. We don't know what they were smoking, but it was something. And Mary and Adam managed to escape. And somehow, oops, we forgot our baby. And so Mrs. Garvey runs back into the burning building to get the baby. But there's no escaping. And so she's going to try and escape out the window. She's trying to break the window with her arm and their flames are like, it was horrible. Horrible. And most times you would like, they'd be saved. Oh, thank God they're saved. Nope. Dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, maybe that's when I stopped watching.
Yeah, it's possible.
Like, I don't have, I can't do that.
You're like,
I can't
I'm
do
out.
Shows that
I'm
are
out.
That. Like, I remember the episode that I stopped watching, like ER way back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, a child
can't
died.
Do it.
And
can't
I just do couldn't it. Do it. Yeah.
This is great, though, because I think we all wondered this when we watched the episode. This is an actual headline in the Little House on the Prairie trivia magazine. Wait, did she use the baby as a battering ram?
Oh.
What? Yeah, it looked like she was using the baby to break the window. So during the chaos, this is again, I'm reading from the magazine. During the chaos caused by the fire, Alice Garvey, looking to escape, tried to break through an upstairs window using what looked to many viewers like the baby. Well, a doll stand-in for the infant. The actress did not dispute this, telling the Little House on the Prairie Tribute website that the special effects department failed to make the window break easily enough. She said, I went out with a roar and not a whimper.
What's the actress's name? Because she just passed away.
Yeah,
she is so sweet.
It's a real, Hersha Parody.
That's right. So she was in a lot of these Little House reunion things, you know, the Zoom calls you could do. Remember in like 2020 and early 21, all these casts were getting back together to raise money for different charities and especially COVID related things. And I remember the first one we got on with her or something. When they introduce her, she's sitting there and she just holds up from like the bottom of the screen this baby doll. And she was like, We're fine.
Yeah.
She was like really present at all of those reunions. Mm-hmm. And sadly, she just died last fall.
So sad.
Yeah.
Talk about a legendary moment on TV film.
Right.
TV film.
And memorable.
Yeah.
Right. And
so,
memorable.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Scarred by it. Okay, we're coming to the end. We're coming to the close.
Oh,
we have just two more questions.
Oh, already?
Yeah, I know.
Soon.
We're going to make a list again, and you're going to see if we can take turns. We'll go Michelle, Carolyn.
Okay.
Name as many characters from Walnut Grove as you can in 1 minute.
Oh, in 1 minute?
In 1 minute.
Okay,
hold on.
My angle.
She starts it.
I got to start it.
Okay.
And we're going to go Carolyn first, all right?
Okay.
Hold on. So when I say go, Carolyn, you're going to say, all right?
Okay.
On your, oops, wait.
Can I just say first name or do I have to say first and last name?
Whatever.
Just whatever.
If you've got both, say both. If you can't, if you don't, then we'll figure it out.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
On your mark, get set, go.
Caroline Ingalls.
Pa Ingalls.
Mary Ingalls.
Laura.
Albert.
Carrie.
Ms. Beetle.
Harriet Olson.
Nellie Olson.
Nels Olson.
Willie Olson.
Reverend Alden.
Doc Baker.
Oh, good one. Almanza Wilder.
Mr. Edwards.
Oh, Mr. Garvey.
Mrs. Garvey.
Nancy Olson.
John Jr. Edwards.
Okay. the man who ran the I forgot his name.
The
man who ran the water well, the mill. Who was that?
Mr. Hansen. Mr. Yeah. Hansen.
Thank you.
I'm giving it to you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hattie. Is her name Hattie?
No. Oh. Hester Sue.
Hester Sue.
I'm giving it to you.
Oh, yeah, Hester Sue is a good one. Jenny, Almanzo and Laura's.
Time.
Okay.
Oh, nice job, you guys. Nice job. You got lot of people. You got 5, 10, 15, 20. You got 22 characters, and you guys were probably halfway there.
God.
Well, 1 minute was hard.
Yeah.
If I had more time and I could sit there and think of some more.
Hester Sue was a good one for me for anything.
Yeah.
That immediately my mind will go blank.
Paralysis.
Yes. Yeah, so that was pretty amazing that I even got those. We could have said Percival. Yeah. There's
Bunny.
Yeah, Bunny. Bunny. The horse. Mm-hmm. The more trauma on the prairie. Okay, here's our very last question.
Okay.
And we've already referenced it already, so now you're going to get it right. How did the show end? What happened in the final episode?
The town was blown up by the residents, where they put dynamite because of the mean, railroad magnate guy who was going to come and take their land from them. And they said, you're not going to get the buildings done, and they blew it up.
Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 ding.
And I think I watched that episode just because it was going to be different.
Sure.
But I hadn't really watched the build up to that episode or anything. Because what year would that have been, Kristen?
Was it 1983? Would that be 83? Okay. I believe it was 1983. Yeah. And yes, you're right. It was a robber baron who was going to come take over Walnut Grove, and they weren't having it. And, but the truth is, Michael Landon did it very much on purpose.
Right,
yeah.
And I'm going to read from this magazine again. The headline says, Michael Landon blew his top and then blew up the set. The mercurial Landon was so furious that he had to find out secondhand that the show was canceled instead of getting the news directly from the network that he announced he was going to, this is a quote, blow the whole fucking thing up, according to Melissa Gilbert. And he did, writing a storyline for the final movie. Oh, 1984. 1984 is The Last Farewell that saw the destruction of all the buildings in Walnut Creek. Why not? I think, is that a typo or did they change the name? We weren't watching it then, so we don't know. We're going to say that's a typo because they also put in something about Willie being
wondering about
adopted.
The legitimacy of this $12.99 magazine.
All of this, don't Google any of this. Don't Google any of it because
this
Willie
whole
Nelson
episode
isn't
was
adopted.
Farce.
Okay, so that so they saw that episode saw the destruction of all the buildings in Walnut Grove, which had the added effect of denying their use for any potential future Little House project. Mm-hmm. As Gilbert told the Television Academy Foundation in a video interview, it was Michael's way of saying, no one else is going to shoot here. This was mine.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Michael. Well done. Yep.
Well done. Makes me want, that's an episode. We should actually recap The Last Farewell. After this very rigorous testing, I have calculated that our collective LHOP IQ is well above average, you guys. Like serious mental level.
I was worried. I really was.
No, I was too.
You did really
I
well.
Was too.
You are gifted and talented. They're going to pull you out of class for special accelerated enrichment. It's good. I mean, even almost all of them you probably thought you didn't know, and you got almost all of them.
Wow. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Because you have enough foundational learning that you were able to make an educated guess. Yes.
That's
guessing
true.
Is not mm-hmm. nothing. Guessing comes from something, and it comes from your foundational knowledge.
Ooh, I might have to write that down.
That's
a good
right.
quote.
Guessing
is not.
And guess what,
missing.
Everybody? That was just a fraction of the factoids that I found in this dubious LHOP grocery store checkout magazine. So we will probably do this again. And you can play along at home. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we will see you next time.
And to everyone supporting us on Patreon, thank you. Your generosity keeps the lights on and the memories rolling. Because of you, we get to keep revisiting the songs, movies, and cultural touchstones that helped raise us. It means more than we can say that you choose to spend your time and just a tiny bit of your money keeping this Gen X conversation alive. We are genuinely grateful. And today we're giving a special shout out to these patrons, Tam, Lisa, Kieran, Carolyn, Diane, Jill, Terry with an A, T-A-R-I, Teresa, SJS, Karen, Jennifer, Liz, Greta, and Kim.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. Two good times.
Two happy days. You got so excited that this was an episode where it was really going to fit.
Okay, ready? I'm going to count it down. Carolyn, okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
no, that's you.
I thought you were starting from the beginning again.
No, just you.
Oh, my. To Little House on the Prairie.
Blow cheers. It up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. House, I think we just did.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. Started.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you.
Before we dive into today's trip down memory lane, a quick shout out to the fine folks at Remind Magazine, who help keep the nostalgia train rolling. This season, the Pop Culture Preservation Society is proudly sponsored by Remind, the publication that understands your collection of Tiger Beat magazines, TV guide issues, and random lunchboxes is not clutter, it's history. We love when Remind lands in our mailboxes and we can enjoy that analog experience of flipping through its pages and reading all about the classic TV shows and movies and music and all of those pop culture treasures that made us who we are. And as an exclusive offer to PCPS listeners, you can get a full year of Remind magazine for just $12. That's 86% off the cover price. Just go to remindmagazine.com/pop. That's remindmagazine.com/POP. And you can take advantage of this incredible offer. Trust us, you will be so glad you did.